You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
The Punt, William Hill's top flight football podcast.
Hello everyone, welcome along to the Punt podcast this weekend. Dave Kellner, David McGovern and Lee Phelps set for another weekend of Premier League football. 10 games covered on the podcast as per usual. Dave Kellner here in the studio and on location this morning, this Friday morning. First of all, a warm welcome to Mr. Lee Phelps. How are you doing, Lee?
I'm good. On Monday when they did the midweek podcast, I was at Manchester Airport, you know, about to jet off. Today, I'm on my way back from Grimsby.
Well, Grimsby International Airport, that one.
Yeah. Have you been there before?
Yeah, oh, fantastic.
There's only like one road in and one road out. It's funny because the road out is a lot busier than the road in.
Mr. McGovern, how are you doing, sir?
Yes, very well, very well.
Good stuff. Let's get stuck in then, chaps. And we start on Saturday afternoon, 12:45, Chelsea versus Liverpool. Chelsea in the market at 21-20. The draw is 9-4. Liverpool are in the betting at 14-5. Big game for both sides, this one, Derek. Particularly, though, Chelsea, who were knocked out of the Capital One Cup on Tuesday night, and things unravelling quickly for Jose Mourinho. They've been disappointing in the league, out of the cup now. He's got the whole thing going on with Eva Canero as well. Tough times if you're a Chelsea football manager and if you're Jose Mourinho at the moment.
He's led Chelsea to their worst start in their 10-year history. Chelsea fans are wondering who to support next. It's got so bad. he's what he does so well, of course, is deflect the attention away from the players and onto himself. I mean, that's... you know, that martyr act at, where was it, Upton Park last week, and he was sitting in the stands all looking all forlorn. It's just a big act, isn't it? But that said, if Chelsea lose to Liverpool tomorrow, it's apparently all over, bar the pouting. Luckily for him, they won't. I think I watched Liverpool in midweek against, I went to the game against whoever it was, Bournemouth, and they won 1-0, but it was a shocker. I know it was a much changed Liverpool team, but not changed enough in my eyes, given the way they've been playing. And I just can't have them for anybody's money. I think they're a desperately ordinary side. And any kind of Kloptimism that it came to Liverpool when the German arrived, it's all but vanished. Or should I say one all but vanished, because that's the scoreline Liverpool have had in 7 of their last 10 matches. They'll be lucky to score against Chelsea at the weekend. Chelsea aren't on their way back. I know they lost in midweek, but apparently it was a much better performance and people are seeing green shoots of recovery. I don't think they are. I think they're in real deep trouble this season, but not as deep as Liverpool. I think on any given day, Chelsea, even the Chelsea right now, could beat Liverpool. And I think at odds against, maybe in a few weeks' time, we'll be looking at and thinking, Jesus Christ, how did we miss that? I think Chelsea are good things here.
21-20, Chelsea to win the game. Jose Mourinho, Derek, is odds on now to be next Premier League manager to leave. Do you think that's right?
Yeah, I do. I think he's a certainty to go. I just don't think he's up for the fight. He likes taking over sides out of the finished product and leading them to more silverware. Well, you know, Chelsea are the finished product, finished being the operative word. I mean, because, you know, it's been built, Mourinho's impressive array of silverware on a tight defence, and John Terry is playing from memory. And by all accounts, his memory ain't that good. Branislav Ivanovic, I don't know what's happened to him. They just look aside, that's leaking goals, and I think he will go Mourinho. I mean, he's rounded on referees, but he can't complain about referees being biased against Chelsea, because in that Stoke match they were given 5 penalties. So I think he's I'm not having that. It's just that this is a match between two bad teams at the moment, but in my eyes, Liverpool are more bad than Chelsea.
Yeah, I saw that quote that Jose Mourinho didn't think any of them were penalties on Tuesday night, Derek.
Love it.
Klopp versus Mourinho here, Lee. I'm looking forward to this one because Klopp is, for the media, the emperor's new clothes right now, and Mourinho's been cast to one side.
Yeah, and I think it might be a little bit of a lacklustre game as well. I don't think it'll quite live up to the billing, a little bit like the Manchester derby failed to live up to it. The thing about Klopp, and Derek's right, you know, all that kind of hype, he couldn't possibly live up to it, nor could this Liverpool team. And actually, you know, rather than him starting in a blaze of glory and having that honeymoon period, it does seem like it's a lot steadier the way they've started. And I expect him to do okay in the end here. I'm not as pessimistic as Dell is, but I'm not a Liverpool fan either, so I can kind of understand where he's coming from. I think they'll end up finishing like fifth or sixth, you know, and they'll do all right, and this will be the another transitional season for Liverpool. What I've noticed about them, though, is they're not particularly great going forward, as we've seen, but they're not letting too many goals in either. You know, it's a very steady start for Klopp and his new men, and I think we'll see something similar here. You know, I don't think they'll give Chelsea the opportunity to attack them that many times. I don't think we'll see loads and loads of chances. I think it'll be a pretty cagey game, this one. I tend to agree with Derek that I think Chelsea will just about nick it. I do think the draw's a big player. I noticed that, you know, I think William Hill are going to be putting out like an offer around, you know, this game being a special on the both to score, no draw. Well, I think that's, you know, I think that's a classic bookie trick there, because I think they know that the draw is a big player, and both teams not scoring is a big player as well. I'm looking at under 2.5 goals here, DK. I think it's either Chelsea or the draw. Obviously, I'm not having that bet, because it'll be a really short price. So I'm just going to go on a goals play. And I mean, I was looking at under 2.5 goals with it being Halloween, but I'll just go for the under 2.5 goals in this one.
Okay, under 2.5 goals for Mr. Phelps in that encounter. For some reason, we've not got the prices, Flea, for under 2.5 goals.
What? Here.
I'm looking through the we've got all the usual odds. Let me just have a quick glance.
Have you got under 2.5 goals?
It's not there. It's not there. That market is not there.
Running scared.
We've got the first half markets, all those sort of markets. Let me check it, see if it's in the goals section, which it never is in there.
Yeah.
It's not there.
Oh.
You know what? Reminds me. I'm not having to go a Hills here. It just reminds me of bookies years ago. You know, the most likely result is what Lee's just said on the 2.5 goals, but you can't find this ever bet on it. remember the rugby union, the Five Nations as it was, now the Six Nations, and it used to be teams to win a Grand Slam, England, you know, 5-2, whatever, and it was no price for no Grand Slam winner, even though it was the most likely event. It used to make me laugh all the time, and they've rectified that now, of course, but who'd be a punter, eh?
Chelsea 21-20 for Derek to win the game. When that market does pop up eventually, under 2.5 goals for Mr. Phelps. And that's Chelsea versus Liverpool, Saturday 12:45. The Sunday live matches starts with Everton versus Sunderland. Everton 1-2 to win the game, 1:30 p.m. kickoff. The draw is 3-1. Sunderland in the market at 6-1. Lee, Everton beat Norwich on Tuesday night in the Capital One Cup, coming through on penalties 4-3. Short price to beat Sunderland here. Very short price, in my opinion. 1-2 shots to beat Sunderland.
Yeah, it is a bit short, isn't it? But I think it's short for a reason. I mean, you look at Everton's recent form, and you know, I think you have to give them a little bit of a break. The last two league games they've had have been against tricky opposition. We spoke last week about the Man United game, and maybe there were some excuses for that. With that tragic news that they received. Admittedly, the goals they let in against Arsenal were terrible. But the second half was a real good fight back. And you know, maybe on another day they could have got something out of the game. I think they deserve to lose in the end, because Arsenal looked really good going forward. But you know, they have got quality players. They have got players who can win a match on any given day. Sunderland are interesting here. I think the price for Everton reflects the fact that I don't think Sunderland will go for the win. I think Sunderland's result against Newcastle was obviously fantastic, just what they needed. They always seem to do that, don't they? It was amazing how many managers have come into Sunderland, won that game against Newcastle in the second match, and then gone on to get sacked. The Big Sam's obviously well aware of that. I think Big Sam goes to Goodison thinking, if I get a point here, I'm absolutely delighted. And I think that's what he'll set up for. Classic Big Sam tactics, set up for the point. If he can get points away from home, from now on to the end of the season, not every game obviously, but you know, pick up points here and there and win his home games, obviously that's the recipe for staying in the Premier League, and that's what he does, Big Sam. I think he goes there, shuts up shop, tries to get a point, but just misses out. I think Everton will win this by a single goal to nil. I'll play that old favourite on the handicap markets, that's a minus one Everton, plus one Sunderland, so it's a winning margin of one, the handicap tie, the top one, on the handicap tie, because I think Everton will just nick this.
Yeah, we have got that market, thankfully. 13-5, the tie in the handicap market. Everton -1 and Sunderland obviously plus one goal, 13-5.
It's confusing the way they list that, by the way.
It's strange, isn't it? Yeah. When it goes live, you've got the winning margin market in play, but for some reason it's
no.
Done
but when
this
you
way
when you look
much.
At Everton minus one goal and Sunderland plus one goal, it makes the novice punter think Sunderland have got a two goal start there, doesn't it? You know, Everton minus one. It's wrong. It's basically
that's why I'm a professional.
But it's basically you're betting Sunderland. I'm backing Sunderland plus a goal or 8-5 here, because everything Lee said about how they will set up at Everton is true. Lee's been a bit kind to Everton here. One to two Everton tests the faith of the most dyed-in-the-wool Everton fan here.
Yeah,
it really does. Because I've been a big fan of theirs, but I've been a bit worried by what I've watched from them the last 2 weeks. I know tricky opponents, Lee's right, Man United and Arsenal, but they haven't looked it. They haven't looked the part at all. At no stage did you think they were getting anything from either game. My faith in Everton is weakening seriously. And no way would I be touching them at 1-2 here. I'm almost tempted, you know, to go for Sunderland at 6-1. But I think it's the Sam Allardyce factor, the fact that he probably won't go for a win, which makes me go for the Black Cats plus a goal at 8-5. I think that is a really solid bet.
Yeah, I like that. Plus one for Sunderland in the handicap markets for Derek at 8-5. And Lee going for that handicap tie market. Everton minus a goal, Sunderland plus a goal. So basically, Everton to win by one. And that's in the market at 13-5. At Sunday, 4 p.m, we've got Southampton versus Bournemouth at St Mary's. Southampton 4-7 to win the game. The draw is 14-5, and Bournemouth in the betting at 5-1. Derek, Bournemouth have found it incredibly difficult to cope with the injuries to key personnel this season. They've conceded 10 goals in their last two Premier League games, away at Manchester City and at home against Tottenham Hotspur. You've mentioned the Capital One Cup result midweek. They got beat at Liverpool by a goal to nil. Southampton, they're without Sadio Mane, which is a big loss for them. But Bournemouth are struggling at the moment. They're going only one way, Derek.
Well, they are struggling because they're missing their big players. But they're going to a Southampton side that's missing their one big player in my eyes. And everything I said about Everton at 1-2 applies equally to Southampton at 4-7. They're not good enough, Southampton, to be backing it at 4-7, even with Bournemouth coming to town. It's a bit of a local derby as well, you could argue. There's mileage in Bournemouth at 5-1. I watched them in midweek, and you know, I mentioned earlier that Liverpool were poor. I was actually quite impressed with Bournemouth, even though they played a load of second stringers. I thought they looked a tidy side, and you know, it was a midweek Capital One Cup match, so it doesn't really matter. But 5-1, I think you don't get many bigger prices than 5-1, you know, in the Premier League this season. Bookies have woken up to the fact that there isn't a decent side in the Premier League. So all those 20-1 quotes and 14-1 quotes you get a few years ago, they've gone. Mm. In fact, the biggest you'll see probably is Norwich at 10-1 this weekend at Man City. I don't think you'll see anything bigger than that this season. So Bournemouth to go to a Southampton side shorn of their best player, a Southampton side that still haven't convinced me. I think there's a bit of mileage in Bournemouth there, 5-1. I really do. I'm going to go for the away win here.
Okay, Bournemouth 5-1. Shock there from Derek, Mr. Phelps.
Yeah, I think it's more likely that 5-1 is the scoreline. To be fair, Southampton winning it. And that's what it's been, you know, recently for Bournemouth, hasn't it? So there's two successive 5-1 defeats in the Premier League. The truth of the matter is that the manager has to start changing his tactics. Did he change his tactics much against Liverpool?
Yeah, very tight, very tight. It was basically camped round about. Maybe he was preparing for this game, but they didn't give anything away.
Well, that's interesting, because I thought that's what they should have done in both those games, and they didn't. Now, going to Southampton, maybe he will try that. I'm a lot more impressed with Southampton, luckily, than Derek is. I think, you know, against Liverpool, I think they didn't toy with Liverpool, but it always seemed to me like they had Liverpool within their grasp. Even when Liverpool went one up, it didn't take them long just to equalise. And I just felt like Southampton would always react to what Liverpool did. I think they're an exceptionally well-organised team after that early season blip. I think they all know their jobs. They all seem to, you know, do exactly what the manager asked them to. In Pelé, at home, they've got a fantastic striker. I know, DK, you had that stat, didn't you, about you think he's had the most shots on goal in the Premier League. And he scored on five of those shots. It's not a brilliant strike rate, but I think this is a sort of team who we can't get chances against. Obviously, you know, before the other night, successive players have scored hat-tricks against Bournemouth, haven't they? Raheem Sterling scored a hat-trick, of course, and Harry Kane got three against them. So I think, you know, I think a good centre-forward can get some change out of this Bournemouth defence. I think it'll be tighter, though. You know, in midweek, I went for Southampton to beat Villa at under 2.5 goals. So I just thought they would own the game. I thought they would run the game, and Villa wouldn't have too much ambition about winning it themselves because of the predicament they're in. I think the same here. I think Bournemouth will try and be tighter. I think the fact that they're tighter means they won't be able to attack as much, and they won't have as many chances as they themselves had against like the likes of Man City and Tottenham. So I like the Southampton to win an under 2.5 again, and I also like Palace to get on the score sheet. So, but hey, Palace to score in a Southampton win might be worth a look. Probably only about 6-4 though, is it?
Yeah, it's 11-8 at the moment, Lee, yeah. and we're recording this slightly earlier than usual. I presume that's going to be one of the headline offers, which would be nice. Graziano Pella to score and Southampton to win.
Remember the other week when I talked about Sanchez, and we the same thing there. We didn't have the headline offer for Sanchez to score in an Arsenal win, and it was around that price, wasn't it? And when it came out as a headline offer, they put it out at 5-2,
yeah,
which we were amazed at. I mean, it was a huge increase in price from around 11-8, 6-4 mark to 5-2. So if you do get anything like that for Pella to score in a Southampton win, I think that's well worth a look.
No, I agree. He has had a league high 36 shots this season. Graziano Pella, and historically all his scoring has come at St Mary's as well. If you're looking at Lee's bet of Southampton to win and under 2.5 goals, that's in the market at 13-5 here with William Hill. Happy with that, 13-5, Lee?
Yeah, I'd take that. Again, yeah, you're always running the risk of them scoring three. I think that's the risk you've got against Bournemouth at the minute, especially if they do go a bit more defensive. But yeah, I'll take that.
On to Monday night football, Tottenham versus Aston Villa. 2-5 Spurs to win this game. The draw is 100-30. Aston Villa in the market at 6-1. Pretty disastrous start to the season for Aston Villa. They've parted company with Tim Sherwood and Remy Gard, long odds on to be his successor, Lee. They've only picked up 4 points from their opening 10 games, so little surprise that Sherwood has been given the boot, Lee, and I think he was resigned to the fact in some of those late post-match press conferences, it was almost as if he knew that he was going.
Yeah, and even his level of confidence, shall we say, he couldn't really disguise that, could it? Look, I mean, whoever comes in, this Aston Villa team is devoid of goals. And we said that right at the start of the season. You cannot get rid of the players they've got rid of in the closed season and expect to score the goals that they did to keep them safe. And remember, they've been close in the last three seasons, haven't they? Around the 16th, 17th mark. So, you know, Remy Gard can come in and he might get some change out of Gusted. He might get a couple of goals out of him, but he's not a prolific scorer. I don't know who they're going to be able to sign in the transfer window to bring them the goals that they need. I think Villa are in trouble this season, whoever they bring in. As for this game, yeah, I think Tottenham, we've said about Tottenham, haven't we, a lot, that you know, barring that first game of the season, they're unbeaten. I think they've been solid recently without being too spectacular. Obviously, they added a bit of spectacularness against Bournemouth. And Harry Kane started scoring again. I think it's tempting just to jump on the Harry Kane bandwagon. And I wouldn't necessarily do it if they were playing anyone else other than Aston Villa. But I'm looking at Kane. You know, this will be a super sub match. I'm looking at Kane to get two on the score sheet here. I wouldn't even rule out going for the hat-trick. I'm not saying he'll get the hat-trick, but if he gets a couple and then they take him off, you know, they've got the European games coming up next week, and if they take him off and someone else comes on, I think they could put three past Villa here.
Yeah.
I think Spurs have just entered into a nice vein of form. Villa have got nothing going for them at the minute, and I know you could say, oh, well, the players will try harder because of the new manager coming in, but they haven't got the confidence. It's not a case of trying harder. It's just a case of that they're not very good. I think Tottenham will score. I think Tottenham can score three. But I'll say Harry Kane to score two or more. I'll play just to be a bit safe. But what's the hat-trick? 25-1?
It's not. It's 18-1, the hat-trick.
Two
or more is 18-5 here with William Hill. I'm just wondering if Harry Kane's going to be part of the headline offer as well, Lee.
Exactly.
Harry Kane to score and Tottenham to win is 11-10 at the moment. Maybe you'll get a boost on the headline offer if they dare put Harry Kane with Spurs in this game.
Yeah, I just want to be with him for a few weeks now. And I know he's going to be short. You're not going to get an awful lot of value out of him. But, you know, we know what he's like. Once he gets going, he's a quality striker. We know he'll thrive on the confidence as well that he got from last week. So, I think he'll get chances against Villa. So, yeah, I mean, it might be a bit skinny, but I'll be with him two or more.
Derek, some people might be listening to this clip on Monday night. This is the Monday night live game. And I'm just thinking back to when we talked about Everton and their price at 1-2. That made me shiver. Maybe my thinking needs to change, but I see Spurs at 2-5, and I think Spurs 2-5.
Yeah,
but
right.
they're a decent side this season, though.
Well, that's it. But it's Spurs at 2-5, isn't it? I mean, you know, the reason you'd still back them because the opponent's a Villa. But even when you back them at 2-5, you'll have your right boot poised above your left calf, ready to absolutely well here, because it's not like a home and hose poke, and that's what you want from a 2-5 shot. I mean, Lee's right. Villa are hopeless. I mean, it was, you know. I mean, they've been in such a battle for survival. Their new boss is going to be Bear Grylls, apparently. They're a woeful side, and it's hard not to feel sorry for Tim Sherwood. But I've managed it though. if he was half the boss he thinks he is, he'd be the best boss in history. As it is, he's probably not even the best boss in his house. I just couldn't have him. 8 months he was given by Randy Lerner, the American owner. I can't have Villa. I've got to go for Spurs. Everything points to a Spurs win. Everything apart from the 2-5 price, because that's the time they're most prone to slip up. But you can't make a case for anything other than a home win here.
Do you think they win easily then, Derek?
Yeah, I do. I mean, you could argue. I mean, there's always the bounce you get from a new manager coming in, but they haven't identified the new manager yet. Yeah, I know Remy Gard's odds on favourite, but, you know, we've seen how many odds on favourites and these kind of bets get turned over. So they've got Kevin McDonald, and one thing you can say about Kevin McDonald is he ain't going to inspire you.
Is he the guy from Coronation Street?
Yeah, he'd be better with him. I'm going to go for a Tottenham, an easy win. Probably Tottenham to nil. That would probably around about the even money mark, 11-10 mark.
Yeah, Tottenham -1. I've just looked at that. Tottenham -1 is in the betting at 11-10. Tottenham to win to nil, 23-20, Derek.
Yeah, that
was so. There you go. Lee, did you want to chip in?
No, I was just about to say that the -1 price isn't bad, really. It's not. I mean, you think -1, you think, it always feels as a punch, like you need something extra. It's only a 2-0 win.
Yeah.
Let's not forget. But the -2 must be decent, must be reasonable then, and it wouldn't be a massive surprise to see them, you know, go into a 2-0 lead and then pop one in late on when Villa's heads are down.
No, definitely. If you're looking at -2 in the game, for Spurs to hammer Aston Villa, 14-5 it is, -2. Not massive.
Not as good. I'd probably take the -1 as a safety bet.
Yeah, 3 p.m. kickoffs on Saturday now. West Brom versus Leicester first up. 15-8, the Baggies, West Brom. The draw is 21-10, and Leicester in the market at 8-5. Derek, West Brom have lost just 2 of their last 7 in the Premier League, winning 4 and drawing 1. They've had 5 clean sheets, as you would expect, in those matches, given that they're managed by Tony Pulis. And we're still waiting for Leicester's wheels to fall off their particular bus, Derek, here. I looked at the prices for this game. West Brom is outsiders against Leicester at home.
It's mad. It's absolute madness. I mean, I'm sure West Brom have played Leicester about 6 times already this season. these kind of games should be banned. The 19-10 now. West Brom have just gone to 19-10. 2-1 at home to Leicester. Come on. I don't care what Leicester are playing like. They're going to have a dip in form soon, and this is the time to step in. You're ahead of the game here. You're back West Brom at almost 2-1. It's too big a price. You've got to get on.
No, I agree. I agree. I couldn't believe it when I saw these prices. 19-10 West Brom to win this game. The draw 2-1 Leicester in the betting at 13-8. Lee.
Yeah, it's very tempting, isn't it? I must admit, I'm finding it hard to disagree just on a pure price play. I think he'll be low on goals. I mean, I think, you know, Leicester finally got the clean sheet, didn't they? And I think we might see the fact that they get the clean sheet means that they start to sacrifice a few more chances up front. And I think that, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if we start to see less exciting games from Leicester before we see the wheels fall off. So what I'm saying is we might see a couple of draws and a couple of low-scoring draws. I wouldn't be surprised if this is a draw. I don't think they'll go from beating Palace, you know, and nilling them as well and doing really well to losing to West Brom. West Brom aren't all that, but what we do know is that they won't be pushing the boat out. So I like under 2.5 goals here, but I'm just going to play the draw. I think it might be a 1-1. I wouldn't mind looking at it. I mean, can Vardy do it again? I mean, every week, you know, how Leicester's wheel's going to fall off. It's also, when is Vardy going to come down to his natural weight? You know, when is he going to stop playing like, you know, Messi? Surely it's soon, but it's a little bit of an interesting battle between Berahino and Vardy here as well. I'm sure there'll be a little bit of rivalry there too. two players who I'm sure would love to think that they could be in the Euro 2016 squad come next summer. So I think I probably side slightly with Berahino being at home, but Berahino and Vardy to both score in the match might be an interesting one.
If you're looking at Berahino to score 13-8, Lee, Jamie Vardy, odds against, I mean, he's done it in his last seven now, 13-10 for Jamie Vardy to score. And if you fancy both of them
well
to score...
That's short. I know he's been scoring a lot of goals, but will he get that many chances against West Brom? He admitted, didn't he, that I think it was last week, he said, like, I'm not actually getting that many chances, but I'm just scoring them. And I thought, that's fantastic for him and brilliant that he's, you know, he's so efficient in front of goal. That won't last forever. It doesn't last forever. It can't. So on those prices, Berahino has to be the bet if you're taking one of the two.
Of course, you know what, Lee? 13-8 Berahino against 13-10 Vardy. I mean, Berahino is the bet all day long because you're right, everything you say about Vardy. If you carry on that kind of form, he'd end up with almost 40 goals for the season. We know that ain't going to happen. And Berahino's at home. Leicester are playing against West Brom, who you know are going to be camped around. Even at home, they're going to be, you know, not giving any chances away. If there's a market, Berahino to outscore Vardy, you'd be on that, wouldn't you?
Yeah, on a match bet, yeah.
If you fancy the double, the anytime goal scorers doubled, you'll find this in scorers and corners under that tab. Anytime goal scorers doubled. Jamie Vardy and Saido Berahino both to score at any time in the match. 5-1 here with William Hill, if you fancy that.
Not bad.
It's not bad, but we expect a low scoring game, don't we, I think?
Yeah. But having said that, DK, if you think it's... Well, I'm not saying my prediction of 1-1 is going to be absolutely nailed on, but if you do think each team is going to score at least one goal, chances are it'll be Vardy who scores it for Leicester. There's not many others popping up at the minute, is there?
No, that's a fair point. The 1-1 draw is in the betting at 6-1. On to Vicarage Road and Watford versus West Ham this weekend. Watford 13-8 to win the game. The draw is 21-10. And the Hammers 9-5. This is a fixture, Lee, that's been incredibly kind to West Ham over the years. Watford have won just one of their last 22 league meetings with West Ham, drawing 4 and losing 17. We all know West Ham have been good on the road this season, unbeaten in 5 Premier League away games so far, winning 4 of them. They've actually collected more points on the road than any other team in the Premier League this season. They've been clipped in the betting, though, in the last few moments. They're into 9-5 now, the Hammers.
Yeah, tricky on this. I find it an interesting game that we talked about West Ham a few weeks ago when they were doing so well against all the big clubs away from home. But would they be able to raise that level against a team who aren't going to come out at them? Now, if Watford play this sensibly and don't go hell for leather and attack West Ham, and let's be fair, we haven't seen too much really out-and-out attacking intent from Watford, I think West Ham might find it hard to break them down. They should, all things being equal, go and win this game. Obviously, they're just beating Chelsea at home. They are the surprise package of the Premier League this season to a lot of people. I just think Watford are going to be one of those teams who are a little bit of a thorn in the side to some clubs. Where just that few percentage points, off your normal game. West Ham don't go into this fully focused. I think Watford can get a draw out of it. I think that's what I'm going to go for, right down the middle of the draw. West Ham should win it, but I think Watford will be dogged and be stubborn. I didn't think Stoke would get that result last week. I wasn't sure quite why. I didn't think Watford would win, by the way. But they're just a bit of a dogged team and a well-organised team. I think they'll cause some problems this season, Watford.
The draw's in the market at 21-10. Derek?
I don't understand why West Ham are outsiders in this game, or the outsiders of the two. If this was at home, you'd possibly fancy Watford maybe to spring a bit of a shock. But West Ham playing away from home, they just beat everybody. They've got a way of playing away from home, and they've beaten far better sides than Watford. And I don't understand why they're almost 2-1 to win this. I really don't. I think back to Hammers, they're just a very, very accomplished side, and you can't say that about Watford.
If you're looking at the goal scorer markets as well, Dimitri Payet is 23-10 to score at any time in this match. He's been a revelation this season, and anything that West Ham do well going forward, he's inevitably, whether he's assisting or scoring the goals, involved. So do look at that price, 23-10, Dimitri Payet to score at any time. Newcastle versus Stoke is up next. Newcastle 7-5, the draw is 21-10, and Stoke in the market at 21-10. Derek, you were burned last week with Stoke City.
Big time.
They're a big price again away at Newcastle.
Yeah, well, you know what? Everybody keeps telling me. I missed the first half of the North East Derby last week. I only watched the second half. Everybody keeps telling me how well Newcastle played in the first half. Well, I'll have to take Darren Tusk because I watched him in the second half. Okay, down to 10 men, I know. But they were insipid. They were absolutely atrocious in a derby match. There was no fight, no leadership. I couldn't believe how bad they were. Yes, I know they only had 10 men, but you've seen how often when you go down to 10 men, it increases your fight in your side. It did the opposite with Newcastle. I thought they were absolutely shocking. I might be made to look stupid. If someone showed me the evidence of the first 45 minutes, I might change my tune. But right now, I'm not. And Stoke at 21-10, I'm backing it all day long, and then I'm going to back it all night long as well, and then the next day too, because they'll win.
Stoke 21-10 to win the game. No matter, Lee, what you think about Newcastle at the moment, at least the fans are seeing goals. Last four Premier League games have produced a total of 22. Unfortunately, they've only scored 9 of them. They've conceded 13 in that spell.
Yeah, look at the record. Yeah, I know this is at home, but the record away from home is absolutely atrocious in terms of goal scoring. It's funny, isn't it? Because what Derek says there is it's kind of been a pattern for Newcastle all season. In flashes, i.e. in like 30-minute, 40-minute flashes, they've looked like a good team and look like they could. There's something there to build on, and the manager keeps telling us that. I saw enough in this game that I know we're going to be all right, and we'll probably have a good second half of the season, but they cannot string a 90-minute performance together. The only 90-minute performance they string together was the one where I thought they wouldn't string one together against Norwich. And they were the biggest 6-2. But that happened again last week. You know, again, Derek's right. They did look all right in the first half. Having said that, what about Stoke last week? I mean, they looked all right in the first half. Second half, I mean, people were falling over their feet and just not passing it to each other. I don't know what happened to them. Obviously, they've come back from that. They've had a good win in midweek. And our colleague Ben Bremley in the office, he went and said it was an amazing atmosphere at Stoke. So their travelling supporters will be buoyant going up to Newcastle. What is the over 2.5 goals here, DK? Because given Newcastle's high amount of goals recently, I'd expect it to be sure, but I've got a hopeful feeling that it's around the even money mark, maybe 10 to 11.
They've not put the markets out, Lee. All those markets, the markets they haven't put out are the goals markets at the moment, so they're not online. I will chase that up, obviously, given I'm an ultra professional.
I'll check it in a second as well. But I like the idea of goals in this, because I think that Newcastle, the only way they know is to have a right old go in the first half. They can't carry it on for the second half, generally. But I think they'll do it again. I think they'll come out, all guns blazing. He gets them fired up. The crowd, obviously, is what it is at St James's Park. But we know about Stoke. We know Stoke love a team to come onto them, and then they can hit on the break as well. We know that Stoke have got quality players who can score from nothing as well. I really like the over 2.5. I'm going to try and get a price before the end of this podcast, because I might nap it if it's a decent price.
Okay, over 2.5 goals for Mr. Phelps in that game. That's Newcastle versus Stoke City. On to the Etihad and Manchester City versus Norwich. Manchester City 2-7 to win this game. The draw's in the market at 4-1, and Norwich in the betting at 11-1. So Norwich have drifted out to 11-1 now. Beaten again last weekend, Norwich, and knocked out of the Capital One Cup midweek. It's not a crisis, Lee, just yet for Norwich City, but things aren't exactly panning out how Alex Neil will have envisioned. I mean, they haven't kept a clean sheet in the Premier League yet, and they've only got 9 points from their opening 10 games, so Norwich struggling a little bit.
Yeah, I was very surprised in midweek that they took it as far as they did against Everton, all the way to penalties, of course. I thought they'd be beaten maybe 2 or 3-1 in normal time by Everton. But maybe that says more about Everton than anything else. Look, City are just scoring goals for fun at the moment, aren't they? It doesn't really seem to matter that Aguero's not there. They're making very light work of it. They're pretty lucky in a sense that the fixtures have run the way they are, because they've hardly had a tough game bar in the Man United one. I think they'll score goals here again. My theory about them, you know, being slow off the mark in the first half, obviously, was found to be wrong against Bournemouth. They really hit the ground running in that one. Can Norwich put up more of an effort against them? It's funny, you know, I think if this was a team with Aguero in it, I think they tend to pass a lot more in the midfield and find a way through the defence. And I think sometimes they can be found to be a little bit pedestrian at times, Man City, just because they're playing the ball so nicely and trying to find Aguero's feet. Whereas when I think when they play with Sterling, De Bruyne, and Remy up front, they seem to be a much more direct team. And that's what we're going to get this weekend, of course, as well. I love De Bruyne scored in midweek, didn't he? I love him to get on the score sheet. Unfortunately, he's not that great a price for a midfielder who might not get as many chances as you'd hope he'd get. But I think City win this one comfortably. I think it'll be an easy win. I mean, I'm guessing minus two is a touch of odds against, is it?
It is. Minus two is
15-8.
It's 15-8 minus
big
two.
Big price, that. Big
right. Okay, yeah, that's it. I'm surprised at that. I thought it'd be shorter than that. Yeah. That's only a 3-goal victory. You could win 4-1 and still land that.
Well, yeah, 15-8, City minus two looks a great bet in comparison to City 2-7. But City 2-7 is a big price anyway, you know. I mean, you'd rather back that than Tottenham at 2-5 to beat Villa, you know, poor though Villa are.
Yeah.
Just because City don't often mess up, whereas Tottenham, we know, over several seasons they have. Yeah, I mean, not as you've gone out to 11-1, but you can put a zero on the end of that, and I still wouldn't be tempted because they just do not look... They don't look a side capable of handling City. And, you know, we've seen how City have been pulverising teams like this for about two or three seasons now. I don't see any different. I don't see why they shouldn't do this weekend. Yeah, there's the question of the Champions League next week against Sevilla. Big game for them. But, come on, you know, we know what the results are going to be here. I'm going to go for what Lee said there. City minus two at 15-8.
Yeah, I like that as well. City minus two, 15-8 in that 3 p.m. kickoff. Penultimate match this weekend we're looking at on the podcast is Swansea versus Arsenal. Swansea 4-1, the draw 5-2, Arsenal 3-4. Derek, my fun's been spoiled a little bit here because Swansea have been clipped in from 9-2 into 4-1, but Arsenal, even though they put out a weakened side against Sheffield Wednesday, they were badly beaten and they suffered injuries to Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain and Theo Walcott in that game. That pair join Aaron Ramsey, Jack Wilshere, Danny Welbeck, Mikel Arteta, Thomas Vysitsky on the injury table, on the treatment table. So if they have any more injuries, they're going to really struggle in the second half of this season.
Yeah.
I thought Swansea were a big price.
Well, you mentioned all those players there, Dave, and yeah, they all are on the injured list. But, you know, most of them have been for a long time anyway, and Arsenal's still been doing a business.
Yeah.
The only Oxlade-Chamberlain hasn't been getting a game. So you're only looking at Theo Walcott. And I honestly don't think they'll need Theo Walcott anyway to take care of Swansea, who have been bitterly disappointed. I know they got a decent result recently, but they've been a disappointing side. And every time Arsenal play away against a team like Swansea, I've opposed them. And then I've just looked at the statistics and they've won 9 of their last 10 away games.
That's
you know,
why, Derek.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. They're 3-4 and I think they'll win. I really do. Swansea, for me, there's something not quite right about Swansea. They just don't seem the side they were. You know, they've been over the last couple of seasons, a side that's capable of beating the big teams. They only seem capable of beating Man United these days. I can't oppose Arsenal here because those injury worries don't worry me that much because it's only Theo Walcott.
Okay, fair enough. Arsenal 3-4 to win this game. Lee, your thoughts here?
Yeah, something about this game that does worry me a little bit. I can't really have Swansea. I mean, traditionally, we've always talked about them being like, you know, kind of Arsenal light, haven't we? I know they are missing players, but I think they'll get it done here, Arsenal. They've got such a big game in midweek. I can't help but think that they'll be slightly distracted by the fact that they've got this trip to Bayern Munich, which is a huge game for them. I've had a little bit of luck with the older, you know, I've mentioned it once already in this podcast, that plus one, minus one, the winning margin of one. Yeah, I just wonder if Arsenal would just scrape this. I'll tell you what I'll go for. I'm going to go for Arsenal just to get the job done. I think without the attacking prowess of Oxlade-Chamberlain and Walcott, I mean, they've still got quality players, obviously. I think Swansea will keep the ball and try and frustrate Arsenal at home. I'm going to go for Arsenal to win under 2.5. Just an Arsenal 2-0 win I'll go for. I think it'll be a tricky game for Arsenal, but one that they'll win in the end.
That's 3-1, Arsenal to win and under 2.5 goals. 3-1.
Yeah, I'll take that. I don't think Swansea will be that adventurous here because let's not forget, the manager, the pressure was eased on him with the win last weekend. But I still think he'll be pretty... I think he'll be delighted if they got a draw at home to Arsenal, put it that way. Mm. I don't think they'll go out of their way to open up against Arsenal. That's the worst thing you can do.
It is worth remembering Bafa Timbi Gomes scored the winning goal in both of Swansea's meetings with Arsenal last season. I know he's not been in good form, but they did the double over Arsenal last season, Swansea.
Yeah, they did, didn't they? I mean, yeah, again, I think that maybe that might weigh a little heavier on Wenger's mind as well, thinking that, you know, we don't need to go here. I think it'll be... The thing with Swansea is that they've got an ideal game to stop that. You know, they don't have to go out and attack teams. They like to pass the ball about, and they can really sink back into their own half. Now, if they do that, Arsenal aren't going to be pushing forward too much. They'll think they can hit these in the break when they finally do attack us. So I think it might be a little bit of a lacklustre game. Gomes is a confidence player, isn't he, like a lot of strikers, and I can't be with him unless he's in the middle of a rich vein of form. I mean, oh yeah, great, if you're ahead of the curve and you get him before he starts that vein of form, then yeah, well done, but I've not seen enough from him recently to think that he's going to be the man. In fact, I was only thinking last week, his form seems to have really dipped recently, as has Swansea, you know, it's no surprise. So I think Arsenal will get the job. I mean, I think Arsenal in the Premier League are looking the real deal at the minute. I don't think they'll win the Premier League, but I think they're doing what they always do. The flat track bullies Arsenal. They'll keep picking up points and then get chinned right near the end of the season.
Last match we're going to look at this weekend is Crystal Palace versus Manchester United. Palace 3-1 to win the game. The draw is 2-1 with Manchester United in the betting at 11-10. Lee, I don't know what you thought, but I watched that Manchester derby last weekend and I thought they were okay against Manchester City, but again, didn't score at Old Trafford. And midweek they played against Middlesbrough, didn't score again at Old Trafford. And I saw Paul Scholes' piece in the paper suggesting that the way Louis van Gaal sets up doesn't suit Wayne Rooney. But I think he's gone. I think he's absolutely gone, Wayne Rooney. He's been awful for 18 months now. And good players, no matter what the setup is, they find a way to perform. And Rooney's not performing.
It's funny, I watched that, I don't know if you watched it, guys, that Class of 92 programme. I was on TV on Thursday night about Salford club, and I kind of half expected Rooney to turn up on that. You know, they've got a couple of Gareth Seddon, a couple of, like, you know, players who played in the league, and they've brought them down and paid them £400 a week to get, you know, a few goals at a lower level. You know, I half expect Rooney to be on that next, the next series. It's more entertaining watching Salford than it is watching Leicester tonight,
right.
That's for sure. At least you know what the kind of way they're going to play. I say it again. Will someone please tell me what Man United are? I've got no idea what they are.
Well,
they're just a
possession-based side that are fearful of making any mistakes, and it shows in the way they play. But Rooney playing through the middle, Lee, they've not got that dynamism. If Martial was playing through the middle, I think they'd be a different proposition personally.
Well, it seems to be that, you know, I don't understand why you wouldn't play Martial straight through the middle with Rooney just sitting behind him. Rooney's obviously got quality on the ball. We know that, you know, his pace, you know, isn't what it was, and it was only brilliant for a short space of time anyway. Let's be fair about it. You know, everyone used to say that he would lose that kind of pace because he hit the ground running so early and he was so well developed as a footballer so early, and so it seems to be coming. But he's still got quality about him. I think he's being asked to do too much. I think Rooney's at his best when his manager gives him a simple job to do. You know, you wouldn't call him a deep thinker in any sense, would you? Let alone football. I think when you give Rooney a set job to do, i.e., sit behind Martial, get the ball, and provide passes for him. I think he's developing into more of someone who sits between the midfield and the striker. I'm struggling with this game again. I was struggling with the midweek game, and I wish I'd been brave enough to go for Middlesbrough in the end. Obviously, in some form, I probably wouldn't have been brave enough, as you all well know, to go for them to win. But yeah, the plus one would have got me something. So, I mean, what price for Palace again, DK?
Yeah, 3-1 Palace. If you fancy them plus one, that is odds on. It's 7-10, yeah. Palace plus one.
I'll play the draw, no bet, Crystal Palace. I think they're open, Palace. That's the only thing that's in United's favour here. And by the way, United aren't doing bad. You know, it's not like the Chelsea, is it, here? But I'm not saying they're a bad team. I'm just saying I'm struggling to call them week in, week out. I just don't think there are many goals in their side. I think we could see we'll see both teams scoring. But I'm gonna trust that Palace ruffle Man United's feathers a bit more than other teams do, and are a little bit braver than other teams. So I'll go Crystal Palace draw, no bet.
13-8, Palace draw, yeah. No bet.
Yeah. I don't mind that. I know you're only getting your stake back if it's a draw, but you're still getting two results on your side.
Well, we've talked a lot about Manchester United here, Derek, but Palace, they've lost four of the last six in the league. They've only scored four goals in that spell, and three of them have come from the boot of Johan Cabaye from the penalty spot, so they're hardly flying themselves.
No, they're not. In the season, yeah, they look aside. I mean, we had some great results, and I tipped them to be the best of the rest, hadn't I? To outside the top six, Palace and Stoke for the seventh and eighth positions. Well, something's not quite right there at the moment. So you go back to Wayne Rooney, by the way. I mean, how long can a player stink the place out before people start saying he's gone? I mean, he's stunk the place out now for two seasons. I mean, I wrote Fernando Torres off after 6 months and I was proven right. Rooney has gone. How is he going to come back from this current spell, which has lasted probably more than 18 months?
Yeah.
I mean, he just... You know, like the players that develop early, well, you know, they go to seed a lot quicker than the others. And that seems to be the case with Rooney here. He just, I always thought, you know, Rooney, for a fantastic player at his best, unbelievable player. But whenever he had a bad game, he was awful. He didn't just have a normal bad game. He had an M&S bad game. They were absolutely awful. When he's off the boil, he's really off the boil. Well, he's been off the boil now for close on two seasons. He ain't going to come back. And I noticed Hills were offering 9-2 that he doesn't start against Palace. I might be even having a little dabble on that. You know, I don't know whether that price is still available. It was in the specials earlier this week. Because I can't believe Van Flatface would keep faith in him the way he's performing. I really can't. He hasn't got many options. Maybe that's the reason. But he's going to have to get him in January because United will start slipping down the table. How are they second, by the way? Or is it second they are now? I just can't understand it. I mean,
it is still there as well, Derek, that special. Wayne Rooney, if you click on the specials page, Wayne Rooney not to start against Crystal Palace is in the market. It is 9-2.
That looks a big price for me. I mean, when he came off last week, he had those staples in his head, didn't he, against anything to keep that syrup in place, I think it was. He's gone out of the game. But Lee's uneasy about the prices for this, and for a good reason. It's perfectly framed by the bookies to attract two-way betting this. Maybe not on a draw, obviously, but 3-1 Palace will suck in an awful lot of punters, but so will 11-10 Man United. It's a perfectly framed book. The 3-1 Palace will suck me in. Had they been away from home, I'd have lumped on them, even at 3-1. My confidence is tempered a little bit because they never do that well at Selhurst Park. But United are a side that's waiting to be taken apart. Maybe Palace aren't that team, but plenty good enough to get 3 points this weekend. I'm going to go for Palace at threes.
You know, my concern with Rooney as well, Derek, is I want to see England do well in the Euros, and it seems inevitable that no matter what happens this season, Roy Hodgson is going to stick with Wayne Rooney as his talismanic player.
Yeah, you need a New England manager to drop Rooney. Well, you need a New England manager anyway, but he won't make that. He won't make the big. He won't make the big call.
Okay, Crystal Palace 3-1, the draw 2-1, Man United 11-10. That just leaves the Naps this weekend. Mr. Phelps, I'll let you lead off here.
Yeah, it's 21-20 that Newcastle over 2.5, or Newcastle v Stoke over 2.5. So I'll take that, 21-20.
Okay, 21-20, that's Newcastle versus Stoke over 2.5 goals, Lee?
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Swansea here at 4-1. Yeah, I really fancy them this weekend. I think it's a look-ahead spot. I think they'll definitely be focused on Bayern Munich midweek in a game they need to win. Swansea, I think at home, they'll have that spark, that energy against Arsenal at the weekend. I don't think Arsenal will be up for it. So I'll go with Swansea at 4-1 as my bet of the weekend. That's my nap.
Well, I know why you've gone for that, because 4-1, I suppose, against a side like Arsenal, we've got Champions League action. But I would argue, Dave, that this game is more important than the Bayern Munich game to Arsenal, because they ain't going to be winning the Champions League and they've got a real chance of winning the Premier League. So, but, you know, maybe Arsene Wenger doesn't see it that way.
I think Arsene Wenger always sees it as an achievement just to get through the groups, doesn't he?
Yeah,
Which he usually does.
Yeah, fair enough. I'm going to go for West Ham 9-5 to win at Watford.
Yeah, I like that. 9-5, West Ham to win at Watford. So that's the bet this weekend. That's the treble. So do get involved here with William Hill. And if you want to follow myself, Derek and Lee on Twitter, at D Kellner, at Lee Phelps, and at Bet Like a Pro. And myself, Derek and Lee will be back for more Premier League action next weekend. Thank you, chaps.
Cheers, boys.
Thanks, DK. Cheers, Derek. Cheers,
speak again soon.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.